Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four talented players who are this week going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back two regular players of the game, Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones, and on the other side of the stage, someone who's played the game many times before and someone who has never played it before. That is Tony Hawks and Fred McCauley. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Liz Trott, who is going to keep the score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our panellists to speak in turn, if they can, on a subject that I will give them. And they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. This particular recording of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Civic Hall in Ayr. And Derek Nimmo, who's going to begin the show, has got a very apt subject to start with. It is Ayr. Derek, will you tell us something about Ayr in 60 seconds, starting now?
Appropriately enough, I came to Ayr by Ayr today. I started out at 1600 hours yesterday, Saturday, in Mexico City, and then flew across the Gulf of Mexico to...
Tony Hawk's a challenge.
Repetition of Mexico.
Yes, you've had two Mexicos.
Well, I was there quite a long time.
Tony, you have a correct challenge of repetition, and you take over the subject. You get a point for that. You have 48 seconds starting now.
Ayr is a simply wonderful place. That's why there are so many songs written about it, like Sometimes All I Need Is the Ayr That I Breathe, or We're Walking in the Ayr. These are marvellous tributes to a place which has pleased me for many years. I've driven here on...
Yes, all that ingratiating
talk. Yeah, I can only lie.
You deserve to pause. So,
sorry,
Peter,
yes.
You got in first. Hesitation, you have the subject. 29 seconds are left for Ayr, starting now.
Well, I've only been here for 2 hours, so I really think it should be the chairman who should be talking to you about Ayr and Scotland generally, because he is a native. He was brought up in Glasgow, where he was an engineer. One of his previous...
Derek Nimmo, chairman.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, I'm afraid, yes, because I was lying to hear about my life story. So, Derek Nimmo, you have got in with the correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject or take it back. 15 seconds are left, starting now.
I had many happy holidays at Prestwick in my youth. I used to travel here. My aunt and uncle came from Glasgow, Clarkston, and on we came to this glorious beach and winds, as you would not believe, used to howl across, and I got pictures of myself, little tiny short...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Derek Nimmo. Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject, mooning. Take it any way you wish. Talk on it if you can. 60 seconds are available, starting now.
Well, when I was a boy, my father used to accuse me of mooning when I was just sort of sitting around doing nothing and not really being a contributor to the family life. But nowadays, mooning means taking down your trousers and exposing your buttocks to someone you don't like. And it can be done from a motor car or coach. And I've never had it actually done to me. Though
Derek Nimmo challenge.
That isn't done.
What a pity, I was enjoying it. Derek, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject, which is mooning, and you have 33 seconds starting now.
What I really want to know is, if you only show one buttock, is it called half mooning? I find it very unpleasant. I do go along the streets these days, and I have seen people in motor cars, and I look across, and I think, what a funny-looking woman that is. And I realize it's not a lady at all. It's these other unmentioned things, these rare ends that are being so displayed. I can't see the point of it. Can you imagine in the city of Ayr, on the golf course at Troon, or on the beach at Prestwick, having buttocks displayed?
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Repetition of buttocks?
Yes, we had buttocks before,
yes, we did,
I'm afraid.
Yes.
We can't have too many buttocks in Just a Minute. But Tony, you've cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on the subject of mooning. Another point to you, and you start now.
Sometimes you can see builders mooning by accident.
Tony Hawks, was then speaking as a whistle when, gained that extra point for doing so. And Tony, it is your turn to begin. The subject is stretching my legs. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I am 6 foot 2.5 inches tall already.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Boasting.
Especially as he added the already. Does he expect to go taller? Peter, he didn't commit any of the crimes of just a minute, so what we do is we love the challenge, we give you a bonus point for the interruption, but of course, as he was interrupted, Tony Hawks gets a point for that. He keeps the subject, stretching my legs, 57 seconds left, starting now.
Therefore, I have no need for stretching my legs any taller, and I wouldn't be able to fit through doorways. My brother, however, paid to have his legs stretched, but could only afford to have one done, and now he walks in circles whenever he goes on. If I was going to stretch my legs, what better place than the air? I could walk across Victoria Bridge, down along the River Aire, towards the free parking at Mill Bray. Yes, how important it is to stretching your legs in a place where you... Oh, I'm just talking rubbish now.
I know, but you've done your homework. Derek, you challenge first.
Well, yes. He stopped, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Hesitation. 26 seconds. A point to you. And the subject, stretching my legs, Derek, starting now.
I think stretching my legs is often used as a euphemism for going outside and walking around and perhaps having a little penny spending. I don't know. Perhaps I'm wrong about that. But actually, during the Inquisition, they had very ingenious machines for stretching one's legs. They had great bars which they would wind downwards until actually the people's bodies broke into... It's quite...
Fred McCauley, and how nice to hear from you, Fred. Can I say, before you give us your challenge, you very cleverly got in with only 1 second to go. What is your challenge? I will grant it, Fred, because it's the first time you've played the game, and you have 1 second, stretching my legs, starting now.
Stretching my legs is an...
So Fred McCauley was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and he's in second place, equal with Peter Jones in the end of the round, and it's his turn to begin. Fred, the subject is stress. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, there's probably no greater stress put on anyone than to appear for the first time on a show like Just a Minute and to try and speak for that length of time on a subject like the one that you've just given me. Medical people in the audience will know that there are certain features of stress that are apparent in casualty wards. These are known as stress fractures, where people can't handle the stress and they end up banging their wrist or their shin on an item of office equipment till it breaks. And I can well understand why they do that. Oh, that's a noise that people make when they're under stress. I think you all recognise it. Yes. Oh, dearie me, I can't handle this.
Tony Hawks, your channel.
Repetition of whoa. Yeah.
You did, ooh, a bit too much, I'm afraid, Fred, but it was very good. 24 seconds with you, Tony, on stress, starting now.
I cannot stress enough how well Fred McCauley did there with his virgin speech on this programme. Most people would crumble under the stress, but he rose to the occasion like a true champion, like a Scot, and like...
Peter Jones, challenge.
Like, too many likes.
Too many likes, yes. Peter, another point, and the subject, 12 seconds, stress, starting now.
One is always hearing about highly paid executives suffering from stress when they get about £500,000 a year, and yet people who are really under stress, like window cleaners, don't get nearly as much. And surely, yes.
Peter Jones are then speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point for doing so. It's your turn to begin. Brass, tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
It's a very attractive metal. I think it compares favourably with gold when it's used decoratively. And, of course, it is a combination of bronze and zinc. No, copper, I think, and the aforementioned metal, which can be tin.
Derek, you try.
Repetition of metal.
Metal, yes. 45 seconds are available for you. Brass, Derek, starting now.
Top-ranking officers since the time of the Boer War have been called brass for reasons of the amount of gold that was on their hats, which was sometimes called scrambled egg. Did you know? That's frightfully interesting, isn't it? Anyway, from those times, that is why brass has been used in that particular way. One can also think
Peter
of...
Peter Jones, a chance.
You said there was gold on the top of there.
Well, that's why they call it top brass.
Why didn't they say it's top gold?
Well, they didn't. They said top brass.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
Of course it doesn't.
A lot of the things which are said in just a minute don't make sense.
Well, yeah.
If we all had to talk sense all the time in this game, I think it would grind to a shuddering halt on occasions. Derek, I disagree with the challenge, so you keep the subject and you have 29 seconds left for brass, starting now.
Bold as brass, they say sometimes, don't they? Have you heard them? They shout out, he is as... Well, as I just said now, as brass. You have to be very careful not to repeat things. One of the rules, you see. Brass monkeys, another little illusion which we won't go into very much, I don't think. Not an air, I don't suppose, really, because it can be rather chilly on the beach, as we know. And brass can be used very well in the production of all kinds of aero engines. Sometimes when you pull them to pieces and inspect...
Right. So Derek Nimmo kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Peter Jones. Tony Hawks, your turn to begin. The subject is mollycoddling. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Miss Coddling took me for geography when I was at school, and it wasn't until many years later that I discovered that her first name was, in fact, Molly. Quite a woman she was. What she couldn't tell you about glacial erosion and oxbow lakes wasn't worth knowing. But where did she stand on Molly Coddling? Well, she believed that you should not strike your children. But unfortunately, she had no objection to having a go at other people's. And I was on the receiving end of many blows from Molly Coddling, let me tell you. And that has turned me into the upright, outstanding citizen I am.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Deviation is not.
I'm not going to ask the audience to judge on that, and I said I'm not going to judge on it. But I tell you what we do, Derek. The audience applause assumes that they enjoy the challenge, so you get a bonus point for the interruption. But Tony keeps the subject and a point for being interrupted, and he has 24 seconds to tell us more about mollycoddling, starting now.
If you are bringing up a child, please don't indulge in mollycoddling, because they will want to have their own way for the rest of their lives. When they go in restaurants, they will demand the food that they desire. They will pull their hair. They will tear away at your very souls until they have...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Fourth day.
There, yes, yes.
Yeah, so, you're right.
And we've got 7 seconds on mollycoddling, Derek, starting...
If you model collie a child too much, that will be not assumed to be mollycoddling. It's a totally different word.
Fred has challenged you. Fred, where's Fred? What is it?
Derek just said an anagram of mollycoddling.
Yes, sir. Molly.
It was deviation from English as we understand it and as it's even spoken. So, Fred, I agree with your challenge.
I wish you had
5 seconds on mollycoddling, starting now.
Mollycoddling would never entertain my...
Peter challenged.
What?
Yes, you challenged Peter.
Yes, I did, yes.
Why?
Well, he hesitated.
I know he did, I know, but I'd like to hear you say it. Right, mollycoddling's with you, Peter, and there is 1 second to go, starting now.
Well, he was talking about the mother.
So, Peter kept going. That 1 second to the whistle. He's back in the lead with Derek Nimmo at the end of the round. And Fred McCauley, it's your turn to begin. Back to basics. Talk on the subject if you can, Fred, starting now.
Back to basics was John Major's blueprint for life in the 90s. To combat sleaze, he decided that we should all behave in a manner that was appropriate, and we should have a family unit of small children, 2.4 maybe, a mother, a loving, caring father, and a live-in secretary, lover as well. And this was going to be the plan by which we would all be upstanding citizens and...
Peter challenge again.
He
did indeed, Peter. Correct challenge. Another point to you. 36 seconds available. Back to basics, starting now.
Well, when I first heard the phrase from John Major's own lips, I thought he was talking about getting back to the times when we lived in caves and when we had to go and kill something in order to have a meal. Or if we felt a bit like a bit of rumpo, we would have to go and find a woman and drag her by the hair into the cave.
There is no challenge.
There is no cave.
I'm afraid there's more than one cave.
Yes,
it's a pity, because I was enjoying this rumpo sequence.
Yes, well, here you are.
Right, 13 seconds available. Back to basics with you, Derek, starting now.
Back to basics. Well, it did seem to be an admirable idea, returning to Victorian values in a way. But unfortunately, they've shot their own feet, have they not? And it doesn't really seem to have worked. I'm all for Peter James.
So, it's neck and neck with all of them. Derek, your turn to begin the subject, racing. Tell us something about that in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
I'm frightfully keen on racing, particularly air.
Tony,
what's the matter now? What's the matter?
He actually started before you said now, and therefore is going to talk for just a minute and 1 second.
Actually,
that's not fair. He gets to talk for a minute and 1 second. We only get a minute.
Well, Tony, there's nothing in the rules that says you can't start before.
Right, I'm starting my next round now, then.
I'm going to give you a bonus point, Tony. Derek gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject. 58 seconds, racing Derek, starting now.
The race course at Ayr is particularly celebrated. I noticed there the other day there was a meeting called, called the Warren and Norris Celebration Wedding Stakes Handicap. Now, why was it like that? I thought it was a very extraordinary thing. Well, I like going racing most of all, of course, is Australia. I have been to 16 Melbourne Cups, and I like the picnic race meetings.
Tony Hawk sounds.
Repetition of like.
Yes, you liked an awful lot before, yes, so...
Well, I
went to the Melbourne Cup 16 times.
Repetition of ever, I heard it, yes. 35 seconds for you on racing, Tony, starting now.
I know what horses are thinking about in racing. They are musing to themselves, how come when humans break their legs, they just put it in plaster? And you can see their point of view, can't you? But whenever I go racing, I make sure that I'm in a nice outfit and that everyone will be impressed by my stride as I run ahead of the throng of runners who are alongside me. Racing is...
Fred Macaulay challenge.
I don't know quite what the challenge is, but he was running ahead of them and now they're alongside him, so he's obviously not running very well.
Fred, 11 seconds for you on racing, starting now.
I've only ever once bet on a horse race, and I won. I put the money on a horse which was called Out in Front.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Two horses.
There were two horses. Horse race.
Oh, there were far more than two. What kind of horse race is that? What do you mean? You've been to the Melbourne Cup, Derek.
Derek, racing's back with you with 6 seconds to go, starting now.
Sheikh Hamdan bin Rashid Al Maktoum is one of the most successful owners at present, situated in Dubai, and founder with his brother of the Dolphin...
So Derek Nimmo got the subject back. He kept going to the whistle when gained extra points. He's now taken lead. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. Hotchpotch. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, it's just a fairly meaningless mixture. I mean, I could talk about anything, really. I could mention Tony Hawk's lurid sex life. I could talk about Nicholas...
Derek challenge.
Two talks.
You were talking too much, I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
Yes, yes. So, Derek, you have 51 seconds on this subject of hotchpotch, starting now.
Well, a hotchpotch can be an odd mixture of things, like, I suppose, the questions on this particular program, if one comes to think about it. Stress and brass and mollycoddling, back to basics, air, mooning, stretching my legs.
Challenge.
Sorry, I know it's my first show, Derek, but I interrupted on behalf of Peter Jones. I'd rather hear about Tony Hawk's lurid sex life.
I have to say, I'm rather keen as well.
I'm almost tempted to offer you two bonus points for a change. Give you a bonus point for that one, Fred. Leave it with Derek and Hotchpotch starting now.
It is a kind of stew, by definition. You can put all kinds of vegetables and meat and... rather like scouse, I suppose. I am a Liverpudlian.
Oh,
and
Tilly's pressed. Yes.
I'm just pressing to stop you gesticulating at me to press. You thought he repeated kind, but he didn't. He said kind and kinds.
Did he?
Yes, you see.
Right.
So
I was trying to help Fred then.
I just wanted to press to stop you going completely mad.
What happened to my hotchpotch?
You've still got it, and you have 30 seconds, Derek, starting...
30 seconds?
That's all. No, 29 now. Starting now. Tony Challenge.
Well, hesitation.
Yes. Yes, Tony, you have a point. You have the subject. 29 seconds, hotchpotch, starting now.
Whenever I'm in the kitchen and I need to cook something, I look around for all kinds of ingredients and throw them into the tub as if I am going to cook a real hotchpotch of...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Did he say he threw them into the tub?
Yes, into the tub.
I mistook my kitchen for the bathroom, I'm afraid.
His cooking's like... Can you imagine what his sex life's like?
You're going to have to imagine, because I'm not going to tell you.
Peter, correct challenge, 20 seconds, hotchpotch, starting now.
Well, rather than tell you about him, I'd rather talk about the Parsons family, whom I have known about for many years now. His grandfather designed the Tay Bridge, and then much later, his son designed the Titanic.
Tony, you challenge.
Were there two designs?
There were two. He designed. He designed the second time. The
was first it designs? Time was, why was it designs the first
designs
time?
Designs the first time, and the what, designed he, the second time.
Why did he do it in the present tense in the first time?
I don't know. Why did he do it in the present tense?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps I had a temporary blackout.
Yes.
Well, your temporary blackout. I've been having a very difficult time lately. And, you know, there's difficulties at home and one way and another. And I do plead...
Oh, your cri de coeur from the heart has won you the subject back. 5 seconds.
Where else could a cri de coeur come from, apart from a heart?
That is a very good question, Derek. 5 seconds for hotchpotch with you, Peter, starting now.
It can be a very nice dish if you get the right ingredients and a pan to put it all in.
So, Peter Jones, speaking then as the whistle went, has moved forward into second place behind our leader, Derek Nimmo. Tony Hawkes, your turn to begin the subject, Riding a Laugh. We've discussed that often in just a minute. Talk on the subject, if you can, starting now.
Why did the one-armed monkey fall out of the tree? Because I waved to him. Now, because I'm still talking now, that's an example of riding a laugh. Were I to stop and let you fully enjoy the magnificence of that gag, I would be buzzed by one of my fellow panellists who would accuse me of hesitating. But that would not be the case. However, some comedians struggle to find the opportunity to ride a laugh because they don't get any. That is their particular tragedy, and I will not go into that now. Instead, I will tell you about a horse that my brother used to...
Peter Jones, a chance.
He said, I will, twice, very close together.
I will. Peter, well listened. 26 seconds available. We're riding a laugh, starting now.
Well, it's something that people do, I suppose, if they ever get laughs. And I've never been terrible.
Peter Eric Nimmo, chance.
And his...
And there was an error, yes.
Oh, there was. I'm rather glad, really. I didn't want to go on.
I have to say, Peter, that's exactly how you came across to me as well. 21 seconds, riding a laugh, Derek, starting now.
Our laugh is the impeccably bred new coat by Shamdan Ashim, which is one of Sheikh Hamdan bin Rashid Al Maktoum's favourite horses.
Also, challenge.
I think he should speak mostly English.
Actually, I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Derek Nimmo and say there are 10 seconds for riding a laugh, Derek, starting now.
I must say, I wish I could tell jokes like Terry. He's so witty and funny, isn't he? I'd love to be able to ride a laugh as he does with the applause.
Oi, Tony, stop.
Well, I'm afraid there were two loves in there, yeah, and I'm quite prepared to give you coaching lessons, if you like.
4 seconds with you, Tony. Riding a laugh starting now.
It was a filly owned by an Arabic gentleman, and I...
Tony Hawkes was then speaking as a whistlewind, gained that extra point for doing so. Peter, it's neck and neck between you and Derek Nomo. He's one point ahead of you as we go into the last round, and you are 3 points ahead of Tony Hawkes, and Fred is trailing just a little. Mm. And but don't worry, Fred. It's the contribution that counts.
Thank you.
The points are secondary. And, Fred, it is your turn to begin. I don't think you can actually win, but we'll certainly enjoy hearing from you on My Ambition starting now.
Yeah, well, my ambition had been to win, but obviously that's not going to happen. So it's important that I let you know the difference between fantasy and ambition. Because if you were to ask any young man, say, 13 or 14 years old, what his ambition was, he might say, a night out with Pamela Anderson. And that is an idea of how the difference is between the word that I said earlier that isn't ambition, that began with an F and rhymes with fantasy.
I think
it was the Perthshire accent when he said fantasy, you know. He's come from Perthshire, that's all it does.
But this is going all over the world. It's not a parochial programme at all.
Fred, I disagree with the challenge because I think you said fantasy as well.
Thank you very much.
And you keep going on the subject of my ambition. 34 seconds are left, starting now.
It would be a shame to just have one ambition. I think you should have more than one ambition. You should have several.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
Quite a lot of shoulds in there.
Yeah, quite a lot of
ones as well.
Yeah. And, Tony, my ambition is the subject, and there are 29 seconds available, starting now.
I'd like to star in a TV consumer programme that showed absolutely no sympathy at all for the people that wrote in, and it was called Tough Tit, You Bought It. My ambition also, on top of that, is to publish a book. Notice the way I'm riding that laugh as well. Publish a book entitled...
A Fred challenge.
Yeah, two publishers there.
Yeah, we published, yes, you published too much there. So, yeah. Fred, you have the subject back. You're going to finish in style with 9 seconds on My Ambition, starting now.
My ambition would be, like Tony, to publish two books. One of the books would be...
Oh. Oh, it's a tough game, isn't it, Fred? Yes. 5 seconds are left, and Derek Nimmer got in first. My ambition, Derek, starting now.
My ambition will be to the chairman of this wonderful program when Nicholas Parson finally retires. Thank you.
We have no more time to play just a minute, alas, so it remains for me to give you the final score. Fred McCauley, who has not played the game before, coming from nowhere, did magnificently.
But he's from Glasgow.
He comes from Perthshire, but in this game he came from nowhere, finished in fourth place with a lot of points. He did marvellously. Tony Hawkes, who's come from somewhere as well.
I came from nowhere. We all came from nowhere at the beginning.
Right. But in this show, he finished in third place, quite a lot of points. Peter Jones nearly pipped our leader, 2 points behind the man who held the lead and lost it and held it again to finish up as our winner this week, Derek Nimmo. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four intrepid players of the game, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Fred McCauley and Tony Hawkes, thanking them very much. Also Liz Trott for keeping the score and also blowing the whistle marvellously, I thought. And also we must thank Ian Messiter for thinking of the game, which we all enjoy playing so much, and our producer Anne Jobson for directing it so magnificently. This is me, Nicholas Parsons, on behalf of all of us saying goodbye. Hope you'll join us the next time you play Just a Minute.